This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
And it was at this time where all of Israel were going away from the Lord. They didn't stand up for it, didn't do anything about it, that Elijah prayed, and he prayed it stopped raining for 3.5 years. And so obviously this terrible drought was on all the land of Israel. And the Bible records that Ahab is searching everywhere for Elijah. He knew it was this guy. He knew it was this man. He searched in every nation to find Elijah because he saw that he was the problem. Caused this problem to come on all Israel. Three and a half year drought. And so they're in desperate straits. But no one could find him. And it was during that time that God supernaturally provided for Elijah. The Bible says that he told Elijah to go to a certain brook and that he would provide for him. He'd drink of the brook. And during the day, twice a day, ravens would bring meat for him to eat. Amazing, isn't it? And it was at that same time, it was during that time where Jesus actually quoted it in Luke. To his own people, he quoted that Elijah, during that time, there were many widows in Israel that must have been in dire circumstances and situations, but not one of them was Elijah sent except to a widow of Zarephath in another place. And she provided for him miraculously. This widow, Elijah, comes to her and sees her. And God had told Elijah, he's commanded that widow to look after him. And so he asks her, can you bring me a little drink of water? And as she goes to bring the drink, said, can you also bring me some food? And this is when she just breaks and said, I've got to tell you what's happening. I'm going out to gather a couple of sticks because all I've got left is a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and I'm going to make my last meal and eat it with my son, and we're both going to die. And it was during this 3.5 years that this happened, and Elijah said, fear not. Go and do as you have said. Make that last meal and give to me first, then eat of it, you and your son. But the word of the Lord to her was that the oil would not fail and the flour would not fail. And so that miraculously continued until the day that the Lord sent rain upon the earth. Incredible stories. But here's the situation in Israel. Why weren't they, God's people, praying? Well, they probably were praying. But the situation was that they were serving Baal, another god, as well as Jehovah. They were going to church every week. They were reading their Bible every week. They were going through all the form, but there was no power. They would do what pleased them, and they were serving Baal as well. They had a little god on the side as well. They were happy to serve two gods. And let's not kick up a fuss, because that woman Jezebel, you don't want to get on her bad side. Let's keep the peace. We're happy serving two gods. And it was into this kind of circumstance that Elijah stepped in. And he's a man with a like nature like us, but he saw what the circumstance was and said, it can't stay like this. It can't stay. Here's a man with a nature just like you and me. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth, and he's looking for those whose hearts are right before him so he can what? Show himself strong on their behalf. Here's one man. In his mind, he was the only man that was actually serving God, standing before. In his mind, that wasn't the truth because there was actually 7,000. But in his mind, he was the only one. And he got before God, started to pray for this nation. Start to believe the promises of God. That's why he prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. Why? Because he knew that was the only way that God's going to turn the hearts of the whole nation back to him. Unless God's judgments are in the earth, the people of the earth will not learn righteousness. Don't be afraid of judgments coming. Don't be afraid of it. That's why Jesus told us. He said, this is going to happen. There can be wars, rumours of wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilence. Men are going to kill one another. He said, don't worry about that. You soon find out whether your heart is in heaven or on earth about where you're worrying. It's got nothing to do whether you're a weak person or anything, because God gives power to the weak. Let's get the focus off ourselves and start letting the Word of God do what it's supposed to do. It discerns the very thoughts and the intents of our hearts, shows us what we're really living for. So Elijah, the man of God, finally he comes, and after 3.5 years, he presents himself before Ahab the king. You know what Ahab said to him? He said, there you are, you're the troubler of Israel. You're the one that's causing all this trouble on Israel. And he turns around and said, no, you're the one that's troubled Israel. You know why? Because you've turned this nation away from God. You've turned it to the Baals. You've turned it to every man doing whatever they think is right in the sight of God. And you haven't done what God's commanded you to do. That's why this judgment has come upon the earth. You know what he did? He challenged this king. He said to him, all right, I want you to gather all the prophets of Baal and all the prophets of Asherah. There's two male god, female god that they had. I want you to gather them all, bring them to Mount Carmel. Gather all of Israel and bring all of Israel to Mount Carmel. And this is what we're going to do. I want you to get all the false prophets of Baal and Asherah, and I want them to prepare a bullock, build an altar, prepare a bullock, and offer a sacrifice. But nobody's going to put fire on the altar. Nobody's to touch it, put any other fire. And he said, and I'll do the same, and the God who answers by fire, he's the true God. And he did this before all of Israel, and they said, yep, that's good. That's what we'll do. Excuse me while I get my glasses on to find where we're at. There are 400 prophets of Asherah and 450 prophets of Baal. I'll read it, verse 22. And Elijah said to the people, I alone, see he thought he was the only one, and left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore let them give us two bulls. Interesting, he wasn't the only one, but where were the other prophets? They were hidden in a cave. They're a bit afraid for their lives. He said, therefore let them give us two bulls, let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you will call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God and put no fire on it. So they did that, and they're crying. They did this in the morning, they're crying it all day. Lunchtime they're crying out. By this time Elijah's mocking them and saying, better shout a bit louder, he's probably asleep or he's gone away on a holiday. And so they're doing this all day, but there was no answer, no answer. And then it comes the time, and this is what I really want to focus on. Verse 29, when midday was passed, they prophesied. Oh, they're getting into prophecies now. Hallelujah. Until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Do you know where, if you want to talk about morning and evening, we're right at the evening. We're right, and the evening sacrifice needs to be offered. We're in the last days. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. And Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. God wants, can you hear God? Come near to me. I mean, Can you hear him? He's saying, come near to me. Look at what's happening around about us. Look at what's happening in our families. Look at what's happening in relationships. Look at what's happening in the world. Man, is there ever been a time where God's people needs to draw near? And can I ask you, has God made it hard for us to get close to him? Has he made it difficult for a person to get close to God? Why do we find it so hard? Why? Elijah was a man with the same nature as us. Why do we find it so hard? Because we choose to make it hard. One thing is necessary. One thing. We've got so many things on our lives. Come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That's what I want to talk about. The altar of the Lord was broken down. You know what Jezebel had done? She'd made sure that all the altars to God had been broken down. She made sure of that, for that one first of all. I'll tell you what, the altar is the place where the power flows. The altar is the place where the sacrifice needs to sit on. And she was going to make sure there was nobody in that nation was going to offer themselves as a living sacrifice. She knew where to stop God from moving in any church, in the land. The devil knows how to stop the power of God. If he can stop and make sure that that altar is broken down, make sure that there's no altar in the place. Remember sharing once that do you realise that central to this house is or central to God's house is the altar. It's a place of sacrifice. So they came near, and when they came near, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. With the stones, you know, each one of us, it says in 1 Peter that we are living stones. Living stones. I beseech you, Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable form of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are living stones. With the stones, he built an altar. God wants to build an altar in this house. And it's going to cost something. And it's in the name of the Lord. You know, what did Jesus say? He said that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Gee, sometimes we really got to think about what that scripture is really saying. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name. You go right back to the Old Testament, and God saying to Moses, he says, wherever I record my name, I will meet with you there. Where has he recorded his name? Tell me the name that is above every other name. The name in which all power and all authority is given in heaven and earth. What is that name? It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit are all in that name. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in him, dwells in him. And of his fullness, we have all received. Every single one of us have received it. He's wanting to get those stones together and build an altar. You know what he said? If you're going to build an altar to me, I don't want any, you cannot build it with any kind of tool. It's in other words, nothing we can do. No work of man is going to be pleasing to God. No sacrifice of man is going to be pleasing to God. He said, no man tool will come upon my altar. It's just living stones that we've been built together. And his name is here, the name that's above. And then he made a large trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. I don't even know how much that is, but it's probably a fair bit. He put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 water pots with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and the wood. Then he said, do it a second time, 8. He said, do it a third time, 12. Gee, amazing, isn't it? He's scarce on water, but he's absolutely soaking the sacrifice. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Well, they knew he was God before that. They knew he was God before, but something's different here. You know what? When Elijah spoke to the people before this, he said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? In other words, how long are you going to be crippled between two opinions or sentiments? You know, what's a sentiment? It's like, almost like an emotional... We're full of opinions, aren't we? I think Christians are more opinionated than anybody else on the earth. I really do. And is that a bad thing? Well, I don't know. Sometimes, this is what Elijah said, you're crippled between two opinions. And I've heard it said, you know, opinion is something that we carry, but a conviction is something that carries you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the church is full of opinions, but there's not much conviction. A conviction will bring about an action. You know, we all of us are of the opinion that prayer is important. But how many are of the conviction that prayer is absolutely important? How many have that conviction? Because if you've got a conviction, it's going to carry you. A conviction will lead to an action. We've got to build an altar in this house because it's fallen down. Do we pray? Yes, we pray. But how do we pray? God, help me. And oh God, please help me to do this or help me to do that. When God has already done it. He's already done it. And if we're going to pray in faith, we're going to pray according to the word of God. God is not a man that he should lie. He said, is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like a hammer? When are you going to lay down those opinions that you have? When am I going to lay down my opinions and just repent before him? And stop making excuses as to why his power and his fire is not falling on this community. Oh God, I tried. Yeah, that's your problem, David. It's all about you. You know, Karen, you had that word about Jesus coming to the disciples, and they're in the boat, and he's telling them to let down their nets into the deep. And, you know, Pete, we've toiled all night. We've done it. We did it all night. And boy, if anybody knows how to do it, we do. If anybody knows how to do it, Christians know how to do it. We know everything. We're so full. And yet God's eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. And I think, why are they running? Does he find it hard to find somebody whose heart is right before him? He said, there's a man, there's a woman I can use. You just read Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, in the midst of a nation that is gone away from God, in the midst of a nation that doesn't want anything to do with God, and probably most of the Christians there, the people will say, well, you know, they're so hard-hearted. Oh, people are such unbelievers today, aren't they? Oh, they're such no good, and they won't listen to me, and I shared, and they rejected me. Oh, well. And in the midst of that kind of circumstance, Jeremiah 5 says, run quickly, go, run into the streets. See if you can find somebody. See if you can find a man, just one man, that will be able to stand before me. Remember I said that when we're preaching, we're standing before men on behalf of God. But when you're praying, you're standing before God on behalf of man. And that can be a fearful place. Are you ready to lay down your life? Because if you're going to stand before God on behalf of man, you're going to stand like Moses, and you're going to find out what God wants to do. He said, I'm going to pour out my judgment. I'm going to wipe this whole place out. And what did Moses say? Kill me. Kill me. You had to stop it. That's what God's looking for. You know, we've turned Christianity into it's all about me. We're saved. Yeah. Our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. No one can take us out of the palm of his hand. Who shall separate you and me from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Nothing. Right. Shall tribulation can't do it. Persecution can't do it. Demons can't. The devil can't do it. We're safe.
Yeah.
It's not about us anymore.
That's good.
It's about God trying to find one man, one woman, a church that will stand in the gap, that he won't have to pour out his wrath. That's what's going to come. And often when we're looking at end time stuff, we go, oh, this is going to happen. And we totally miss the heart of God, that he is not willing that any should perish. What did Paul say? I urge, first of all, the prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made on behalf of all men. He's looking for men that are going to stand before him, lifting up holy hands without any wrath, without any doubt, and praying the will of God. Because I tell you what, you've heard it, and I'm going to say, I'll finish with this, an empty altar receives no flame. You get no fire will come on an empty altar. If there's no sacrifice on the altar here, which is central, there'll be no fire here. Oh, we can have a goosebump meeting. And look, I want that. But please get my heart. If it's all about us, then we've missed the heart of God. He's looking for a people. You know, I think of this old song. Will you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me? Will you be broken like bread to feed the hungry for me? Will you be so one with me that I may do as I will? Will you be light? Will you be love? My word fulfilled. Where does that come from? It comes from a people who get before him and say, here am I, Lord, send me. It comes from a people who worship him, who not only just stay in the outer court and praise God, Jesus died for me. Yes, praise God, he did. But they go into the holy place where the candlestick is, where the table of showbread, communing with him, reading his word, getting to know his heart, allowing God in that time to write his laws on our heart and in our mind. so that he can so begin to change us. Because, you know, in that holy place, it reflects on your soul. It's your soul. You know, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies... Why did Paul say that? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Well, what is it? When you're in the outer court when he's saying that. The outer court is where the big altar of sacrifice was, and obviously that's speaking about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we look to the cross and we see his sacrifice and we see he did. That's where I deserve to go. And he paid the price for me. He died for me, took all my sin. I'm a free man now. I'm the Lord's man now. Well, if he died, then that's the end of me. I die. And so what do? We go into the holy place. And it's reflective of the whole church, where we learn how to commune, how to love one another. We learn, we take the table of the Lord. We learn his blood washes us clean. His body was broken for us. We learn it's our meat to do his will, to do what he's speaking to us. It relates to our soul, listening to God. What it says in the Psalms, you know, my soul thirsts for God. My soul thirsts for God. How many even have that thirst? Or you get people's... Can I just speak frank? People say, come to church, oh, no, I didn't get much out of church today. Oh, bully for you. You poor little thing. You poor little thing. Well, that was your choice. That was your choice. You love what you set your heart on to love. That's the truth. You love what you love. You know, when people say, I need a holiday from church. Well, yeah, have a holiday from God. He probably deserves it too. Look, when I speak that way, to me, too, how easy it is to develop an attitude.
Yeah.
But the whole purpose of that in that holy place, you know, because there was the table of showbread, talking about communion. There was the candlestick, the word of God, the light of his word as we open it. You are clean through the word I've spoken. It illuminates our thing. Oh, look, I've read that, and I haven't liked the light that's been shone on my life sometime. I haven't liked it. I'll turn the page, find something different. Yeah, find another scripture. You know, and so so what do I do? You know, the danger when I do that is fulfilling what Paul says about the last days, that we will have itching ears, and we'll gather up the teachers that we like to listen to, or we'll only listen to the scriptures that we like to listen to. And what did Paul say? You remember that day and night with tears I told you the whole counsel of God. I didn't hold back anything from you. I shared the good and the bad, if you want to put it that way. I shared everything, the whole counsel of God. Anyway, the whole purpose of that is to bring to that altar of incense, prayer, right before the Holy of Holies. I mean, that way is all in Christ, it's all been made open so that we can come boldly there. But there's still a process, that Holy of Holies, where we start to pray, where our life becomes a prayer. And we're willing to just give our life to whatever you want, Lord. That's what Romans 12 is. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of all that he's done for you. Because you were a dead man. You were going to hell. You had no future. You had no life, nothing. And he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body. Love that old saying, put your body on the line. If somebody's put their body on the line, you know it's not an opinion anymore. It's much more an opinion. When your body's on the line, well, they've made up their mind. They've got a conviction. As a living sacrifice, it's a living sacrifice. You know, I hear people say, I'm not afraid of dying. Oh, don't give me that. You try giving your life to the Lord every day. Then we'll find out if you're afraid of dying. It's not just that one-off event, and people can easily say, I'm not afraid of dying. It's just every day. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Then you'll find out if you're afraid of dying or not. Give your life to him every day. Paul says, I die daily. Where Paul had to do it, we've got to do it. Take up your cross daily. Deny yourself and follow him. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.